You're listening to Connecting Faith. Glad to have you along. And because it's Monday, we get a chance to connect with Lisa Marone. Again, Lisa's a physical therapist, professor, and author, and the speaker, and she's always encouraging us to get healthy, for heaven's sake, the title of one of her many books. And she also releases a Monday health memo, and so we get an opportunity to talk health and the fitness and all those important things with Lisa. Lisa, welcome. It's good to have you back with us. Today, our conversation is going to be foot pain, and I understand you've got a little personal experience with this issue.
I do, Neil. You know, sometimes you wonder, well, why are we talking about foot pain on this Christian radio station? But we always seem to want to frame this all in that, you know, we do a lot of work for the Lord, and a lot of that requires us to be standing on our feet for a long time and walking and all of that. And so being crippled that way really cripples our serve, and so we want to improve that. And so, yeah, I have on and off foot pain in my right foot. It stems all the way back from when I was a teenager. I was a sprinter on the track team. And even though I had a very diminutive size, I had a pretty good speed about me. And so every year I would just beat that pavement with my sprinter spikes, and I would advance toward the end of the year up to the New York State Finals and in the 200 meter. And every year I was unable to do that, to join in on that final race, because I had a fracture in one of the bones in my foot from that qualifying race. And so following into adulthood, that pain stayed gone after it healed. But when I became about 40, 42 or so, I started hobbling around every once in a while, started after I would wear high heels. And so I had to try to figure out what was going on with my own foot.
Well, I don't have the high heel issue, but I do have some foot pain from time to time. But, you know, that's your story. Lots of different reasons for foot pain and different kinds. So let's talk about maybe some of the common causes.
Yeah, you know, foot pain can happen for a number of reasons. It can happen because you've had an injury, a former fracture, or a really bad ankle sprain. It might happen because structurally your foot or your arches are too low or too high, and the way that you roll over your foot, whether it's walking or running, that can pose a problem to the structures in your foot. As we get older, 40 years old, about to about 60, we can have specific types of foot issues, which is a plantar fasciitis that you might have heard of. And that can happen because we're gaining weight oftentimes in that those two decades between 40 and 60. And if God has created our body to withhold our normal body weight, if we go put 20, 30, 40, 50 extra pounds on that, our feet aren't built to handle that weight without some deleterious effects beginning to branch off into there.
I always think, too, I mean, that's sort of that catch-22, isn't it? I mean, if we want to reduce some weight, oftentimes, I mean, you know, walking or running is going to be a pretty effective way. But, you know, if that's going to lead to foot pain, then we're kind of stuck, aren't we?
Yeah, I have some patients who really have struggled with that, as I have myself. And so here's what we need to do. We need to, first of all, get ourselves to someone who is a real qualified analyst of what our foot mechanics should look like. There are podiatrists that will oftentimes fit people with orthotics, and then there are specialized physical therapists who, I guess I'm biased, look at not only foot structure but foot strength, the way that in the individual joints within the foot move and glide. And so I usually work hand in hand with another physical therapist who makes real specific orthotics. So if you're going to go, Neil, and start this exercise program and your feet are starting to bother you, we need to check a few things. We need to check the shoes that we're wearing. Do we have really old sneakers on? They're not supportive. Is our foot structure bad? One sign, Neil, that your foot structure is bad, if you ever stepped in water bare feet and been outside and looked at your footprints, if you don't have that nice kind of half moon shape where your arch is up off of the ground, if you see your whole footprint on the ground, likely your arches are dropped. And so you need some support to help protect that plantar fascia and the other structures within the foot.
You mentioned plantar fasciitis. That's you know, a problem for many. There's also something else that you talk about, which I don't think I've heard of, Morton's neuroma. What is that?
Yes, Morton's neuroma is what I actually have. What that is a condition where the long bones in the foot become structurally, or they structurally pinch on the nerves that run in between the long bones. When those pinch enough, which for me as a sprinter, I was in narrow shoes and I was running on the ball of my foot. For women who wear high heels a lot, where the toe is narrowed in the foot, or for men who have a broad foot but are putting them in regular sized toe boxes, that squeezing of the toe, that continuous squeezing, will start, the body will start to respond. It wants to protect that nerve because you keep squishing it. So it's going to start to put some scar tissue, a connective tissue around that, and build it up thicker. It's trying to protect the nerve, but all it does is occupy more space, and so our bones continue to press upon now that scar tissue, which aggravates the nerve. So if you happen to have a condition where you get up and you feel like there's a pebble in your shoe, you might feel like you're stepping on glass, or you might actually roll over the ball of your foot and feel like a little electrical shocks that go up through the toes towards the outside of the foot, you may very well have a Morton's neuroma.
Hmm. You know, I'm thinking that maybe if you have foot pain, you end up compensating or maybe overcorrecting, which probably leads to additional pain maybe in, you know, hips or other joints.
Absolutely. The foot is so important. Long ago, I took a physical therapy continuing education course, and it was called When the Foot Hits the Ground, Everything Changes. And it's so true, because the way that the foot adapts to the floor can create foot and ankle pain, but it can also create knee, hip, back pain. And it can even, believe it or not, in really extreme cases where there's other problems, can actually give you headaches. So it's really an important structure. So the things that we want to do, like when we're looking at this foot pain, I guess we'll look at the Morton's neuroma is different than the plantar fasciitis. The Morton's neuroma, we want to open up the toe box in our shoes, get out of those really narrowed shoes or high heels for women. A lot of doctors will suggest that they would inject you with some cortisone in the area, quiet things down. That can be actually, it's a quick stop because it helps the pain. But what those injections do is they have been found to actually start to break down. We have a fat pad on the bottom of our feet, and that fat pad adds cushion between our bones and the floor. So if we get too many injections in the foot, that fat pad will start to deteriorate quicker, and we actually compound our problem. So you do want to hold off on that as long as you can.
So are there maybe some stretching or exercises that will, or, you know, just get out of our shoes as quickly as possible?
Well, for the Morton's neuroma, it's all about the pressure. We want to reduce the pressure. For the plantar fasciitis, what we want to do is a few things. We want to take, give our foot some support with orthotics if we have flat feet. We want to maybe add a gel insert into our shoes, which is going to happen to, like, distribute the force of our foot on the floor, and that can be for either the Morton's neuroma or the plantar fasciitis. But the plantar fasciitis, we also want to stretch that, as you said, and stretching like a typical runner stretch or a calf stretch where one leg is staggered beyond the other, behind the other, and you lean forward, that doesn't fully get the plantar fasciitis. So what I have my patients do is stand close to a wall, facing into a wall, and I have them place their heel on the floor and their toes against the wall. Can you picture that?
Okay.
You got toes on wall and heel on the floor. And if you just lean your face close to the wall, that will stretch out your whole plantar fascia. And that oftentimes it helps us to decrease the pain. And by all means, if you're 20, 30, 40 and up, pounds overweight, losing that weight is going to really be just such a welcomed relief to your feet.
Well, as you said, I mean, we, you know, to be good stewards of the bodies that God has given us, I mean, we need to have a good foundation, and the foot really takes a pounding. I mean, it's built to do that, but we need to take care of them.
Absolutely. God has created us with such beautiful architecture, but when the architecture is off or we abuse the architecture, then we definitely do suffer. And so I've been pain-free for quite a while. So just because you have these issues, if you're good to your feet and you follow simple exercises and lifestyle changes and footwear changes and those types of modification, you can often just eliminate this problem for yourself quickly.
Now, we've got just a minute or so left, and I was thinking, well, if we want to get exercise, but running or walking painful, I suppose there's swimming or maybe even bicycling this time of year, not a bad idea.
Yeah, you know, today my Monday morning health tip is on bicycle safety, because we're starting to warm up across the United States and people are getting back on their bikes, and there's a few things that we really want to make sure. First of all, when you grab your bike out of your shed or your garage, you can't just hop right on that, because a lot of things have happened while it's been sitting there. So you need to make sure that you've oiled and checked the brakes and all of that. So I have known people who the front brakes have worked well, but the back brakes were gone. And so they put their handbrakes on, and that bike just literally flipped them upside down. So really important before you get on that bike that you know that it's working well. And then before you get on your bike, please strap a well-fitting bicycle helmet on your head. And that is not just for your children or grandchildren. It is for your head. It's just as important. Your head does not get harder as you get older. Some people say that it does. We really need to protect our brain. It's the only one we'll ever be given. And if you put your bicycle helmet on, the way that it should fit, Neil, is it should fit forward over the forehead. If the front of it is up on your hairline, that is not going to protect the front of your head when it hits the pavement. The front of your head, your brain, that's your whole personality. Who would want to lose that on the road? So get your helmet fitting properly, secured under your chin. That's really important. Those are two things coming out of the gate that you want to do.
Good words, as always, from Lisa Moreau. We'll pick up another conversation and talk bike safety, maybe some summer safety as well. We talk health and fitness and nutrition and safety, all those things with Lisa Moreau, who's a physical therapist, professor, author, and a speaker, encouraging people to get healthy for heaven's sake. And she's written books on sleep and back pain and diabetes and all sorts of things. And I want to just encourage you to check out her website, lisamoreau.com. That's Lisa, MORROne.com, for more information. Lisa, always enjoy visiting with you, and have a wonderful week.
Neil, great to be with you.
Rosa Marti and her husband are very passionate about loving and caring for kids in their local community. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas for Making Your Life Count. And Rosa shares the story of one young man and the drastic difference that showing God's unconditional love made in his life.
He would look at me with a mean face. He was only 13 years old. And I said, you know something, I love you. And he looked at me, he's like, you don't even know me. I'm like, but I love you, and I come here every week because of you.
And saying those simple words literally changed everything.
That kid's life was changed completely. Now he's in college with a full scholarship. He said, you were the first person to tell me that you loved me, and that changed his life.
Isn't it amazing to see what God can do when you step out and simply demonstrate his love to someone in need? For some ideas, go to MakingYourLifeCount.com.
If you missed part of today's program, whether a conversation with Lisa or an earlier conversation, you can find everything posted on the website, of course. If you go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, you can listen to today's conversation and many others, and you can share them with a friend. So I hope that you'll do that. And I hope that you'll join us tomorrow. We're going to learn about disruption, not in a bad way, although I'm sure we could do that, Ted, but oh, yeah. We're going to talk about disruption in a good way, how God's people, when we are actually the church, we can disrupt the community in a good way.
His plans are better than our plans.
No question about it. Join us tomorrow on Connecting Faith.